We'd like to welcome our radio audience and remind you of our new time at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Our broadcast hour begins at 11 and ends at 12. So we've moved up 30 minutes earlier. You start at 11:30, now it starts at 11. Our scripture this morning, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We've been going out to White Rock and studying the Bible and how we got the Bible. And so we'll wind that up this Thursday night at White Rock. And in Matthew chapter 19, between chapter 19 and chapter 20 is an unfortunate chapter break. Chapters and verses were added to the Bible about the 14th century. There was no such thing prior to that as chapters and verses. But it's just added as a help to help us so that we can remember where things are. And this is an unfortunate chapter break between chapter 19 and chapter 20. So to understand chapter 20, we've got to go back into chapter 19, the end of it, and read the end of chapter 19, and we'll begin with verse 27. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now into chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder that went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when it was about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also out into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, he received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, but thou hast made them equal unto us, which is borne the burden in the heat of the day. And he answered and said unto them, And said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that is thine is, and go thy way. And I will give also unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last, for many are called, and few are chosen. Now turn with me back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter had left his fishing business. A lot of people around here has given up a future to serve the Lord. What's going to be in it for them? What's going to be in it for people that give up a life in this world to serve the Lord, to do His will? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit everlasting life. 100-fold. Let's think about that for a minute. What if I told you that there was a lottery that everybody wins. Everybody wins this lottery. It's not like the lottery that the state gets you to play and they beat you and they cheat you out of your money. Let's equate this to dollars for lack of some better way of doing it. $100. So if you receive 100-fold, everybody's going to get $10,000 for every $100 they invest. Now, I'm telling you now, it's not about money. It has nothing to do with money. But I'm giving you this as an example. That's what 100-fold means. It means that you cannot lose. But what we're going to get is everlasting life, and it doesn't get any better than everlasting life. If you keep your place here, now if you don't get along well in the Bible, you just stay right where you are. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love him." I want you to notice the hath prepared. God has already prepared. He's already prepared 100-fold for whatever we give up in life and give it to Christ. He's already prepared 100-fold better than that for us. If eye is not seen, it's better than anything you've ever seen. Ear is not heard, it's better than anything you've ever heard of. Neither is entered into the heart of man. Now, the heart to the Hebrew was the mind, the emotion, the intellect, and the memory. And so nothing has entered your mind. You can't conceive of how good it is. Many years ago, there was a man that came to this church that sit right over here, about where Larry sit, named Jerry Kennymore. And we didn't think he had a penny. And he got sick, and he got cancer, and he was dying, and I visited him in Baylor Hospital a lot and helped him get his will together and reconcile with his family and things. And so he died, and I did his funeral, and we had a memorial service for him that Sunday here, and someone got up after the service and mentioned, and I was out and back somewhere, and somebody mentioned that I had worked here at that time for 10 years for no pay and no vacation. And the president of Hyatt was sitting here, and the widow of Jerry Kennymore, and they sent my wife and I to Hawaii to the Hyatt Regency Hotel on Waikiki Beach for 10 days and put us in the penthouse. And there was limousines. I had 1,000 pictures back here when we came back. Those of you that were here then saw them all. Limousines you couldn't imagine, and the foods you couldn't imagine. They had a club there that you could go up, the biggest buffet, and a fresh pineapple right off the vine, and strawberries, the biggest strawberries I've ever seen, the sweetest in the world. And this place was the most beautiful place. Our room was a big penthouse room right up on close to the top floor, and it was right looking down at Waikiki Beach and Diamond Head up on the left. It's just the most beautiful place on the face of the earth. And that can't even be compared to heaven. Heaven is like that. I've got no fear of dying because I know where I'm going to be. The next thing, when I open my eyes, it's going to be like Waikiki Beach. It's going to be like Hawaii. It's going to be like the penthouse. It's going to be better than limousine. It's going to be the most wonderful thing that we can imagine. It's 100-fold better than anything that you could have had here on this earth. And in addition to that, we're going to inherit everlasting life. We'd like to encourage our radio and internet audience to tune in at our new time next week at 11 o'clock next Sunday. And why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? Or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape, or tune in our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for many advanced studies and Bible sermons are on the internet there, free downloads. You know, while I was there, have you ever had a dream that's just so realistic? I had a dream, and I dreamed that the Lord said, "Well, Kelly, you've been pretty good," said, "I'm going to let you have a wish." And I said, "Oh, Lord, just build me a bridge over here to Hawaii where I can come over here anytime I want." And he said, "Well, I can do that." I said, "That's not too big for me." I said, "That's no big deal, but it's kind of materialistic. Just think of all the concrete and all the steel that go into that bridge." He said, "Can't you think of something more spiritual?" And I thought for a minute, and I said, "Well, Lord, why don't you help me understand Ginger a little better, where I could serve her better?" And he said, "You want one lane on that bridge or two?" So there's some mysteries that we'll never know until we get there. Back to our text now, Matthew 19, verse 29. "And everyone that is forsaken houses and brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." It just doesn't get better than everlasting life. Nothing could be better. There's nothing better than everlasting life. "For many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." What does all that mean? Now Jesus is going to tell us. For the kingdom of heaven is a church. It's not talking about heaven someday. It's talking about us, the people of God, not a church building. It's talking about the people of God. "The kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder," God or Jesus, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." You know, you can go down here on Ross, and at the corner of Ross and Carroll, the Mexican people stand around there looking for work. They just stand there. There's hundreds of them out there all the time. And God says it's just like that. It's just like going down here to Ross Avenue and seeing all these people standing around idle. And so what does the gospel call mean? "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder that went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny," what does the penny mean? Everlasting life. That's what we make an agreement with God about. We make an agreement. He says, "He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." And we say, "Lord, I believe, and so therefore we're baptized." We make an agreement with him for a penny. What is the penny? Everlasting life, the wages. Everlasting life. "When he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace." So, you know, you ever notice those guys down there? They stand around idle, don't they? They're looking. But you pull up there, in a car, and they'll mob your car. They'll try to get in every door and every window. And you better not have a van like I got and try to hire one guy. It's just impossible. They'll climb in there. You'll have to get them out of there. They want to work so bad. "If only the kingdom of heaven was like that." And he said unto them, "Go you also into the vineyard, and whatever is right," God's going to deal different with us than what people do. God's not like people. He's kinder than people. He's better than people. God is good. And we basically are wicked and have to learn how to be good. And he said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you." And they went their way. And so if you're at the third hour of your life, you might be about 20 years old. You might be trying to make a decision about your life, about what you're going to do in your life. And so God's got a place for you. Heaven's big enough for everybody. He's got a place for you. Verse 5, "And went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise." The gospel call always goes forward. Keep your place here if you don't get along well, but if you do, turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 37. How does God call people? John chapter 6, verse 37. "And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." So that's a beautiful, beautiful offer that Christ has there for everybody. It doesn't say all of the good people that come to me I'll in no wise cast out. It doesn't say all of the rich people that come to me I'll in no wise cast out. It doesn't say all the white people that come to me I'll in no wise cast out. There's no qualifications here. It's not like that. It's universal. It's for everyone. The gospel call is for everyone. And so turn over now to John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." And so how does God draw? We're fixing to talk about that. Verse 45. "Is it not written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God?" Who was Jesus? He was God. So how does God teach? He teaches through Jesus. He teaches through the Scriptures, through the Bible. "And every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me." So God has a way of calling people, And if you'll turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 8, we'll see this explained to us even more. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Christianity is better. It is better than this Old Testament, this law of Moses. Christianity is better. This new covenant that God has for us is better. It's a better deal. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. There was no such thing in the Old Testament about everlasting life. It was never promised. It was alluded to several times in the Old Testament, but never was it promised until Christ came. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, the law, in other words, had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the day comes. Now he's quoting Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So way back here under this Old Testament period, at the time of Jeremiah, God looks forward 586 years in the future and sees the time of the Christ, and he says, I'm going to send a new covenant. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. It's not going to be like that Old Testament covenant where they were delivered out of the land of Egypt, and they promised to, they said, all that the Lord has said we will do, and they didn't do it. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. Other than, instead of laws being written on tables of stone, like Moses came down from the mountain with these two tombstones that had the law of Moses written on them, instead of the law being written on tables of stone, God's going to put his law in our mind. For this is the covenant that I will make of the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them upon their hearts. So God's going to put his law in our mind and then write it upon our hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now, under this Old Testament covenant, you were born into it as a Jew. You were born a little bitty baby, and then you grew up, and then as you got about this big, your parents started telling you, know the Lord, know about the Lord. And then you grow up more, and your parents are telling you all through your life, know about the Lord, know about the Lord. This new covenant's not like that. You can't be born into this new covenant. You have to be born again to get involved in this new covenant, and you have to know the Lord to be in this new covenant. It's not like baptizing babies. That don't work. You've got to know what you're doing. He that believeth and is baptized. Babies can't believe and be baptized. This is for grown people, people with a mind that know the Lord, make a decision. And so they're not going to teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother know the Lord. So they'll all know me. Everybody that's in this new covenant has been born again. They're in the church of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And so they're born again and they're part of a new covenant. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more. Oh, thank God. He can't remember my foolishness. He can't remember my craziness. I can remember it. I try to forget it. I don't want to even think about my sins and my terrible life in my past, but God can't even remember it. He promises us their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. He says, I'll put your sins as far from you as the east is from the west, infinite distance. We'd like to encourage our radio and internet audience to tune in next Sunday at our new broadcast time, 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. on 1630 a.m. radio. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape or tune into our website for advanced Bible studies. There's probably 75 sermons on there that you can download. And so we see the result of this new covenant and us being born again. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, we're told, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins, the buyback of our sins. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You mean he didn't die for good people? That's what it says. It says he died for the ungodly, for wicked people. So wicked people could be saved. So people like me could be saved. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's love extended to us. The offer of love is extended to us at all times. How do people find out? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. This Bible is remarkable. We're going to start studying it in a month or so. When I finish this series, we're going to start studying the Bible. This Bible is old, is remarkable. There's nothing like it in history. There's nothing like the Bible. It is inspired. Inspired means God breathed. Peter says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. So how God inspires is he carries the prophet along. He breathes through him the very words, and the prophet writes down the very words, word for word, what God inspires him to write. And that's why the Bible is so remarkable. It's not the product of human engineering where men are getting better and writing better and better things. It's the product of God all along who's writing the very best things to us. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So any preacher wants to be perfect, he better be perfect in this book, or he won't ever be perfect. That's the only way that we can be perfect, and that's be perfect in this book. So what are we to do? Chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, not some kind of yak-yak, not cool whip sermons and feel-good sermons. God never told preachers to call people together on Sunday morning and preach these feel-good prosperity sermons. There are times that God wants you to repent. He doesn't necessarily want you to feel good. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we're taught to do those things. Now turn with me back to Matthew chapter 20. And so we see how Christ goes to the marketplace and calls people under this new covenant. You remember Jesus said, many are called, and he's fixing to teach us that again. And how does he do it? God calls all people through the gospel. There are many today that talk about a special calling. Oh, I got a special calling to preach the gospel. That's not so. There's no such thing as special callings. God is calling everyone. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely, the book says. It's not that he calls me and I'm special and he doesn't call you. He's called us all. Everybody is called to the gospel. And so not everybody obeys, but everybody is called. Verse 4, Matthew 20, verse 4. And he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. If it's the sixth hour of your life, half the day's over, 12 noon. And often our life is at least half over before we ever become serious with God. Most of the time we're joking or playing or we're just kind of giving him his due, coming and being with him for an hour on Sunday and then shutting him up all the rest of the time. But at some time in life, people can become really serious and really dedicated to the Lord. So maybe it'll happen to you in the sixth hour, half your life is over. Or the ninth hour, three quarters of your life's over. Maybe you're 50 years old, the ninth hour. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and he said unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" Our dear May Rosenberg, who died, God, I miss her, a couple of years ago, I guess. It seems like 1,000 every day she's been gone. Her uncle, she'd worked on him for years and years and years trying to get him to become a Christian, and he just wouldn't go. And so finally he gets cancer and he gets over here in the nursing home over in Oak Cliff. And she's over studying with him and he says, "Well, I'm ready. I'm ready to become a Christian. I'm ready to be baptized." So she calls me and she's thrilled to death. She said, "Oh, Kelly, my uncle's ready. He's ready to be baptized." And I'm hurting in my back. I was hurting so bad my back was out that morning. I was just in misery. And I said, "May, I'm just dying in my back. I don't know how in the world I'm going to do that." I said, "I'm going to go down to church and try to find somebody that can go with me and baptize this guy, because I just can't do it. My back's killing me." And so I come down here to the church and there's nobody here. And so I go over there and I meet her in front of this nursing home over in Oak Cliff, and she gets in the car. And I said, "Well, tell me about this and this guy," and she did. And I said, "And he's 7'6" tall, and he weighs way over 200 pounds. He's huge." And I said, "Oh, no." And I told her, "Man, my back's killing me. I can't do this. I just don't know how to do it." And so I said, "Let's pray." And so we prayed, and I said, "Lord, we got a lot of problems here. You know, we really do. I can't do this. I really can't do this. And I know that we're going to have problems getting a place to baptize him. I know it's going to be problems. You just got to work this thing out. You got to supply the water, and you got to do it." We go inside, and so I tell May, I said, "Now you go on in the room in there with him, and I'm going to go scouting around and find the bathtub. You know, there's got to be a bathtub up here." And so I went around, scouted around, and didn't see a bathtub, and come up to his room, and they're loading him up on a stretcher thing. And when I walked in the room, and the nurse, she said, "Hi," and said, "Well, this is the preacher," and the nurse said, "Hi," said, "Well," said, "I'd let y'all visit a while, but I'm just taking him down to his whirlpool." And I said, "Oh, really?" "Yeah, oh, really." So they got him laying on a thing like a stretcher, and they roll him down there, and they crank him down into this whirlpool, stretcher and all, right down to his whirlpool. Wasn't nothing sticking out but his nose. Yeah. And so, boy, it was the easiest one I ever did. I baptized him in the name of the Father and Son. Boy, it was easy, man. I'm telling you, it's easy. But this stuff works at the last hour of life. It doesn't matter. You can be on your deathbed, the last hour of life, and God has a place for you. He wants you to come to the kingdom. He doesn't want you to delay. God will provide the way. The God that I worship made 7/10 of the earth water. Don't you think we can baptize people when 7/10 of this planet is water? Of course. He makes water in the desert. Read Acts chapter 8 if you don't believe. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to tune in next Sunday at 11 o'clock at our new broadcast time. And we want to ask you, why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home? They'll receive you as an honored guest. Or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free tape. Or go on our website and you can download a lot of sermons and stuff on there. So the gospel call is made to everyone. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, "Whoever one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy." You don't have money, how can you come and buy? He tells us here, "And ye that have no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come ye and buy wine and milk without money and without price." God has a deal for us. What is it? Drop down here to verse 7 in that Isaiah 55. Look at verse 6 first. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." So don't pass up the opportunity. If today is the day of salvation for you, for God's sakes, don't leave this building without it. What's the conditions? Well, he tells Isaiah to tell us, "Let the wicked forsake his way, Let the wicked forsake the way of life he's been living. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You mean we got to work on our thoughts too? Yeah. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. That's how I hate you in my heart, is I start thinking about it. And I start thinking about it. And I think about it, and all that stuff gets from my head to my heart. And let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You got many sins, God will abundantly pardon. You can come, and you can buy at this place, and it takes no money. All you got to be is thirsty. Back now to Matthew chapter 20. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said to them, why ye stand here all the day idle? Doesn't matter if it's the 11th hour of your life. The last hour of your life, you can come to God. And they said unto him, because no man has hired us. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. Notice that word right. You ought to circle that in your Bible. That's a really important word about this parable here. Verse 8. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call ye the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the first and from the last unto the first. I was just thinking about an analogy of that. Our lobby out here flooded a couple of weeks ago, so I had to hire some guys to come and steam clean the carpet out here in the lobby. And so what if I had have hired some guys at 6 o'clock in the morning, and some guys at 9 o'clock in the morning, and some guys at 12 o'clock in the morning, and some guys at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and some guys at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I started paying them, and I promised them all, I'm going to give you $20 for the day. And I took that guy that came at 5 o'clock, and I give him $20. Boy, I can just see the guys that was there at 6, they start rubbing their hands. Saying, man, am I going to get a blessing. He didn't promise me but $20, and I'm going to get, must be going to get $100 for this, because I've been here all day, I worked all day. And everybody gets the same thing. They'd be some bucking over that, wouldn't they? But see, God's better than man. God's not like man. God is kinder than man. It has nothing to do with the way men do things and the way that we do things down here on earth and what we consider what is right and what is wrong. God has an entirely different standard. And when they that come were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. What did he promise us? Go back to chapter 19, verse 29, and shall inherit everlasting life. It doesn't get any better than everlasting life. So first or last is irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether you come the first hour of your life, whether you come the third hour of your life, whether you come the sixth hour of your life, the ninth hour of your life, the 11th hour of your life, everybody's going to get a penny out of this deal. And what is the penny? Everlasting life. It doesn't get any better than that. Why should I begrudge you everlasting life? Now, you might be thinking about this. Well, let's go down here just a little, read a little more. They that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Everlasting life. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? And when they that had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. The Jews always did that back in the Old Testament. They murmured against God. Christians have done it ever since. We all get mad at God, murmur at God. I think, boy, I've worked so hard down here. You mean you're going to give that preacher that busted the grape the same thing you're going to give me? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everlasting life. Don't get no better than that. Doesn't get any better than everlasting life. What kind of wicked heart would I have for begrudging another minister everlasting life just because I've worked hard? Boy, I'd be a wicked person that'd do that, wouldn't I? Really would. Saying, these last have wrought but one hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. It is borne the burden of heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did not thou agree with me for a penny? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, I agreed with you. I sure did. And that's all that I'm holding you to. And I'm going to hold him to that. He promised me. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And I've come to him. Now I've failed 1,000 times since coming to him, but I hadn't left his feet. Take what thine is and go thy way, and I will give unto thee this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? God owns eternal life. He'll give it to whoever he wants to. It's not up to us to judge that. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. How wonderful it is. The last will be first, and the first will be last. May Roseborough's uncle died in just a few days and went straight to heaven, straight to the throne of God, and received everlasting life. Doesn't get any better than that. So the last to be first and the first to be last. For many are called. All people are called. Many through the gospel. Now, there are many people on this earth that have not heard the gospel call, and that's our fault. That's not God's fault. He give us this gospel in earthen vessels. Many are called. Everybody's called that hears about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. They're all called. But to become one of the chosen few, you've got to obey the gospel. Now, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, that which I preached unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. If, big word, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you. What if you don't? Lest you believed in vain. So you forget this, you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Well, like Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, all them Old Testament Scriptures. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how God calls. He calls in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a historical event in history in which God intervened in the affairs of men, and the good died for the wicked. The good, Jesus Christ, the only good that has ever been on this earth, died in place of me, the rotten sinner. Now, the Bible teaches that if you believe that, there's no reason for you to be lost. John 1:12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even as many as believe on his name. So if you're here this morning and you're believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is giving you the power to become a child of God. You just need to add a little faith to that, because without faith it's impossible to please him, the book says, Hebrews 11:7. The Bible teaches that we need to confess Christ as Lord. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9-10. The Bible teaches that we need to repent of our sins, for the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the Bible teaches that we need to be baptized into Christ. On the day of Pentecost, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're about ready to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and will baptize you just like they did in the Bible straight away in the same hour of the day. We'd encourage our radio audience, flee to the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late? If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?